All right, joining us on the phone, he is Oro Valley councilman for, well, for my hood up in Oro Valley, also running for re-election. Very pleased to welcome to the show, Mike Zinkin. Good morning, sir.
Good
Thanks
morning.
For coming
Thanks
on.
Thanks a lot. You know, we're going to win this thing in Sun City and in Rancho Vistoso and in Oro Valley Country Club and in Kanata Hills.
Yeah, that's right. Nicely done. It was funny. Yesterday, I was... just as a sort of aside, I took the family to the Oro Valley Aquatic Center. We go there almost every single day. We have a pass, and there's all that construction going on Calle Concordia. And I went to avoid it, and I thought that if I went down the one street over by the church, that I could cut down onto La Cañada, and I didn't realize it was a dead end. I bring it up only because going and making that turn, I ended up seeing a bunch of your signs, and I was like, "Oh, I'm going to be talking to Mike tomorrow."
Well,
and,
good. I'm glad you saw him.
Yeah, I did.
I've been criticized because the signs don't, there's not a lot of contrast to them. They're not that big, and there's not that many of them.
They pop out though because of the dog.
Good.
That's the plan.
All
right. Hey. For those that aren't familiar with you, Mike, how long have you been on the Oro Valley Council? Give us a little bit of your background to familiarize myself and the audience.
Sure. Well, I started in the town, working with the town like 2004. I was appointed to the Development Review Board, where I served for 4 years, 2 years as chairman. I ran for mayor in 2010, and I lost by 30 votes. And after that, I was put on the Board of Adjustment. And when 2012 rolled around, people said, you know, we'd kind of like to have you run. And I was kind of burned out after losing the mayor's race by 30 votes. And but they finally talked me into it. And in 2012, I was put on council. In fact, we won it in the primary. And I've been on council ever since.
How has your time been on the council? Has it been, obviously you're running for re-election again. And you look at the comparisons between, you know, the different areas, whether it's Tucson or, you know, Marana, and even you go out to Vail. I'm just curious what the experience has been like being on the Oro Valley Town Council. Maybe how it's different than those other areas, you think?
Well, it's been very, very frustrating. I don't have the same viewpoint that the majority of council has as far as what my responsibility is as a councilman. And it's been frustrating. I've also had the mayor advocate for my recall, which they tried to do in 2012, but never got enough signatures. Excuse me. I've had the mayor and councilman put letters to the editor. I've had councilmen try to collect signatures in front of Fry. So it hasn't been smooth at all.
Talk about some of the more controversial aspects of what's happened in Oro Valley. I know you've been a critic of the purchase of the golf course, increase in the sales tax. Talk a little bit about what happened and what your complaints and your concerns and criticisms are.
Well, in 2014, we had an executive session that Elkhorn Key Store had a buyer. And what do we want to do about it? Because the buyer wants to sell us the golf course and community center. And essentially we said, do your due diligence and come back and let us know. And it was the town manager that was instructed to do that, not the mayor. Well, that sale fell through. About 2 months later, we had another executive session because there was another buyer interested who had the same request. And again, it was do your due diligence. The next thing I know, we're at December 7th at a council meeting. I can't remember. It was earlier in December. Council meeting, and we're discussing the potential purchase of the Elkhorn Key Store Country Club, tennis, golf, fitness, community center, 45 holes of golf. And we didn't have enough information. In fact, Councilman Gardner and I wrote an editorial in the Explorer saying, what's the rush? Well, the next council meeting, we had to vote. We had to vote on December 17th because Mr. Lopez was going to close on the 18th, and he needed to know whether we were going to buy that golf course or not because he had two other buyers in the wings that were offering him more money.
Of course.
Yeah. So you know darn well the kind of businessman, very successful businessman Mr. Lopez is.
Yeah.
If he was going to get more money, he would have gotten more money. Our argument was we saw the appraisal was given to us about 8 hours before the meeting. It's a 95-page document. We didn't have time to study the appraisal. We had never seen the Troon contract. There were a lot of questions up in the air to make an informed decision. Yet, on a 4-3 vote, we bought this thing. The word restaurant was never mentioned in the PowerPoint, in discussion, anything. And all of a sudden, we're running a restaurant, which is in direct competition with private industry.
Yeah.
And by the way, losing about $250,000.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask you about. And those two items in particular, because I remember following this. And well, and I'll get back to another part of it. I don't want to get off the reservation here. But those two, you know, those two issues, one being in direct competition with the other local entities, the private entities, and then
right.
two, the ability to recoup the money. And you answered my question, but we are losing money in this deal since the deal was done, right?
Absolutely. We're losing money like crazy in golf. We intended to lose $1.5 million. That was the town manager's estimate. As of May, we've lost around $2.4 million, and we haven't seen the June numbers yet. And I'm trying to get them, but I'm having trouble getting those June numbers. I'm trying to get them before the election.
Talking with Mike Zinkin, again, Oro Valley councilman running for re-election. What is the excuse for those that supported this move with this loss of money? Have there been discussions about this?
Oh, of course there has. The support is, what I hear is, we didn't buy a golf course, we bought a community center. Now, let me make something very, very clear. I am not against the community center. Yeah, I thought it would probably be better off in the Naranja Town Park, but you know what? We've got this building. It's the parking lot's in, the infrastructure's in, the sewers are in. We just passed a bond or permission for a energy efficient bond to replace the air conditioning systems, redo the front, put in, make it ADA compliant. So I am not against the community center. I want that community center to be the keystone of Oro Valley, the focal point of Southern Arizona. But we can't do it when we're losing this much money in golf. Yeah. And they will say, we have a fund dedicated to take care of golf. That fund brings in, they estimate, $2,030,000, and we got $2.4 million in losses. The fund's not covering it. Plus, the fund doesn't cover the losses in the restaurants. The fund doesn't cover the capital improvements that need to be made in order to make anything succeed.
You know, we've been to the community center. It's nice, and we've used the pool when the aquatic center's been closed because mm-hmm. of the swim meets and stuff. We've gone over there and used the pool over there. It's nice. You know, I like it. We take my family there. But let me ask you, do the demographics of Oro Valley match up the need to have, I don't want to say as comprehensive a community center, but the demographics in Oro Valley are different than other areas. There's not as many families. Does it match up in order to sort of justify having that and maybe an attempt to even justify the loss?
I believe so. I believe that our demographics are changing. You know, we have a lot more younger families than we did 10 years ago. We're about 25% 65 and over and 25% 18 and under. So, and the rest falls in between. We have the demographics that can support a card room, that can support, we can support a fitness center, but my gosh, when we have a fitness center, what happens to LA Fitness and
right.
Platinum Fitness,
right.
and Anytime Fitness, and OB Fitness? We're in competition, okay? But if we want to have a fitness center, that's fine because, you know, if that's what people want. And that's the big thing, John. We have never asked the people what they want in this community center. It's just been tossed on them. And here it is, and here's what it cost, and we're doing our best to make it work, and I will not fight anything to make that community center work. I want that community center to work, but it can't work until we make some big changes in golf and the restaurant.
How is, let me ask you this question. How is the economy currently in Oro Valley? And coupled with that, I bring it up because I still do see, you know, as I go over to the shopping center over at Fry's, or, you know, I go over down to the Oro Valley Marketplace, I'm still seeing a lot of empty storefronts or storefronts that have never been filled. So talk a little bit about the economy and a little bit why we don't see more businesses in those empty storefronts.
I'm not sure I can answer that fully, because I think a lot of the reason we're not seeing businesses like at the marketplace and stuff like that has to do with how much rent they have to pay.
Yeah, it's expensive.
And that's not
yeah.
a town issue.
Right.
That's the issue of the landlord. And I think that's the case when you go to the Home Depot, the Rooney Ranch, where Home Depot is. You got that big, huge store that used
right.
to be Sports Authority, and it's still empty. I think a lot of that has to do with landlord issues. Marana and Oro Valley are the only areas in Southern Arizona that are continuing to grow. And builders want to build, and rooftops bring business. And, you know, it's going to, you know, I don't know that we'll fill everything right away. I don't see any big commercial developments coming in the immediate future. We do have to fill those storefronts. there's 41,000 people here. We pull a lot of people out of Pinal County, a lot. I mean, I remember getting signatures and saying, are you an Oro Valley voter? And a lot of people say, no, I'm from Saddlebrook. I'm from Oracle and things like that coming down here to shop. So you have to you throw in those demographics also. So the demographics are there. Business will come when the demand gets there.
Mike, would you be able to hang on the line?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. I got a few more questions as it relates to that because, and just real quick, and we'll get to this on the other side of the break, but you're not the first person, not when it relates to Oro Valley, but you're not the first person to mention the owners of these properties in certain areas here in Southern Arizona that are charging the rent that they're charging. And what I've been hearing in that respect has been that, you know, they're making money off of the existing businesses that are in that shopping center. Why should they lower their rent for certain places just to fill them up? So,
well the marketplace is also getting half the sales tax. We still have an agreement with the Oro Valley marketplace that goes in for 20 years that they get half the sales tax.
All right, let's talk about that coming up on the other side. 751-1041. Mike Zinkin, again, Oro Valley councilman, running for re-election, has some opponents. We'll talk a bit about that and what their arguments are and why they want to get in there. And we'll talk more with Mike coming up on the John Justice Show. You're listening to 104.1 KQTH, Tucson's News and Talk.
Keeping you informed on local and national elections, it's the John Justice Show on 104.1 KQTH, Tucson's News and Talk.
Back the Blue this week. Pick up your Back the Blue ribbons. You can join me Friday, Diamondback Shooting Sports. I'll be there 4 until 6. Also, Epic Men's Health, Grant and Swan. Excuse me. 4 until 6 o'clock tomorrow on Thursday. You can do that on your way to Cocktails and Conversations. Busy couple of days for me. I'll be at Sullivan Steakhouse tomorrow. Coming out and join me 5 until 7 o'clock. We'll have some ribbons out there for you, too. Joining us on the phone, keeping them over a little bit longer, Mike Zinkin. Oro Valley councilman running for re-election. Double back really quick to the Oro Valley marketplace. We were talking about the sort of private entities that own some of the shopping centers and their ability to charge the rent that they want, which, you know, may or may not be, you know, some of the reason why, you know, some businesses aren't going in there because the rent is too high. I actually did some looking just because I was curious. We go into the Oro Valley marketplace a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We got on the Walmart and the movie theater over there and, I mean, in In-N-Out and all that. And there's storefronts there that have been empty, like, forever. So just out of curiosity, I went and looked to see what the rent was. And it's really, really high. I was shocked because these are sections of that marketplace that haven't ever been filled. I mean, they still need build out.
Yeah, but, John, that's outside town purview. That's landlord thing, you know. Vestar, who owns the Oro Valley Marketplace, has a 20-year agreement with this town that was voted on like 10 years ago. They get 50% of the sales tax that derives out of there. So, and I'm not sure. I think there's only 5 or 6 years left on that agreement. So even though they have empty storefronts, they've still been somewhat supplemented by the sales tax proceeds they're receiving.
Is that a good thing? Is that a...
way back when, the town voted on it as to whether or not they were going to allow that to happen.
Right.
And, the town said, yes, do it. Subsequent to that, there's been a law passed, a court case, Gordon v. I can't remember who Gordon v. Whatever it says, it's illegal for a community to enter into an agreement that doesn't benefit the public good. So, we can do a land swap, that agreement is now an illegal agreement, but that agreement was made long before Gordon v. Turcon was ever passed.
Is there anything at the council level that can be done to work with these entities, or is that just something that's completely separate?
Well, we have an economic development department, and I would hope that department would be reaching out to the ICS, International Shopping Centers conventions and things like that, and introducing Oro Valley to different retail stores. For example, I think a Joann's Fabrics would go really good in Oro Valley. I don't know whether Joann's even knows about Oro Valley. So, I'm hoping that our economic development is doing these reach outs and that if they hypothetically say, hey, Joann's, what do you think? And they say, well, we need about 1,500 square feet of store. What's that going to cost? And our economic development department would be able to give a varied price list. I don't know that they're doing that or not.
Well, and you know, and look, I bring it up, and I want to get to one more thing before we let you go this morning. You know, I bring it up just from just a personal standpoint. You know, we've chosen to live in Oro Valley. We've been there for about 4 years now. Really, really like it up there. And you know, we often when we go to certain places, we go, man, it would be great if we had this, if we had that.
I know. Yeah, it'd be I thought a long time when I was on the development review board, and we purchased the Steam Pump Ranch, that the Proctor Lieber House, which is the 1920 house that's there, and that'd be a great place for a Llanos when Llanos used to be down at the Stevens house downtown. But you know, it's just a matter of money and whether or not we can show that we have the demand for any business to come up here, and that's the Economic Development Department's job. And council, no, there's no way. I don't think you, if you were a landlord, you would want council to come in and do rent control.
True. So. Right. No, and that's a great point, Mike. Talking with Mike Zinkin, Oro Valley Councilman. You're running for re-election. You have some opposition.
Yes, sir.
Talk a little bit, you know, about the opposition, but more specifically in the time that we have left. You know, you need, and I'd like to give the, you know, the guests that are running for election the opportunity to let the audience know what it is you need in terms of support if they're looking to support you.
Well, first of all, the opposition's case against me, or against myself and Bill Gardner and Brendan Burns, is we just need to get along. There's too much division on council. Well, the only way you're going to, you know, it's not uncivil to vote no. If when it comes to a vote and it's yes, 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 no, 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 does that make those three people uncivil? It just means they don't think that that's the right thing to do. And in a democracy, the majority rules. So you move on to the next tee box and go to the next vote. That's not what's happening. You know, it's all of a sudden we're very divisive, and that's not the case. We study our package. We see it a little bit different than they do. And so what they're trying to do is, instead of having the 4-3s or any divisiveness or any contrary opinions come forth, they want it to be yes, 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 three bags full. And, you know, lockstep just is not good democracy. You need to have varied viewpoints. Now, the vast, vast majority of our votes have been 7-0 votes. But there's been some development votes. There's been some rezoning votes that have not been that way. I tend to follow the general plan. I'm going to do what the citizens want me to do, not what the builders want me to do, not what the developers want me to do. However, I have on three separate occasions sat down with developers and citizens and over 18-month period of time affected a compromise where both those people's needs were met. We took it in front of council and it passed 7-0. And when I asked both sides of the issue, so what you think of what happened? Both sides said, you know, I really don't like it, but I can live with it. And John, that's compromise. And that's the way we should be doing things instead of heavy-handed, we got to vote today because tomorrow something else is going to happen if we don't make a decision today. So their argument is we need to all get along. Well, you know, we all get along, we just see things differently. That's all. And if you want to continue to have a citizen's voice, someone who's going to stand up for the general plan, someone who's not going to raise taxes, someone who's going to be very cognizant and vigilant of our spending, then you're going to vote for me.
Mike, is there a website people can get more information about you?
Sure there is. VoteMikeZinkin.com, and there's also a Vote Mike Zinkin page on Facebook.
Thank you so much for the time. It was great talking with you this
Thanks
morning,
a lot,
sir.
John. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.